Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, I'm very happy to give this seminar today. It will be most properly the most interesting but also challenging part of my series of seminars. It is called Attraction to Illicit Sex. Sexual attraction is very natural in this world. There is only one personality in this world who is not attracted in this way. He is Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said, amongst all kinds of living entities begotten by Lord Brahma, namely men, demigods, and animals, none but the sage Naranarayan is immune to the attraction of Maya in the form of woman. Now, those of you who are in the woman form, welcome in the human race. when it says that everyone except for the God is not attracted to woman, you can say everyone is attracted to the opposite sex. Men are attracted to women, but women are attracted to men. So it is the same thing. You just have to interchange. When you are a woman, every time it says woman, you say and you translate in your mind, woman. Every time it says, men, Haribol. It's just for translation help. So, why is it so natural to have sexual attraction? Well, the soul in its natural original position is attracted to the Supreme Lord in an ecstatic rasa or in ecstatic loving relationship. It is our original condition to be full of love. When we, the souls, come into this material world, this original love, which is directed to the Lord, becomes very often directed to the opposite sex. The example which has been given in scripture is the example of the prisma. When a light of a pure ray of light enters the prisma, if it enters here like this, it will come out like this in a diverted form. You remember physics? I remember we had to learn this. It also gets colored in three colors. What were the three colors? I think Golga Dada remembers. No, there's a whole spectrum. Oh, so not three colors, a whole spectrum of colors. Anyways, our love is pure when it enters into the material world. It becomes diverted, just like a ray of light. It goes in another direction. It doesn't go to God, but it goes into the opposite direction, the opposite sex. So you can understand from this example, sexual attraction is the most natural thing in the universe. In fact, it moves the universe. Haribol. Now, In this world, now there was once a saint, his name was Jaimini, who thought he was free of sexual attraction. And he said to his spiritual master Vyasadev, "I'm free from this attraction." And Vyasadev smiled. He thought his disciple was a little unrealistic. Next morning he went on a journey. And Jaimini in the evening was making a walk. And when he made a walk, he saw the most beautiful of women. She was an ascetic and dressed in saffron dress, a yogini. And he felt a natural interest. "Oh, what is your name?" "Oh, I'm so yogini so and so." "Where do you live?" "Oh, I'm traveling everywhere." "Oh, and this evening, where will you sleep?" "I don't know yet. I'm new in this area." "Oh," said Jaimini, "come into my hermitage." So she came. There was only one little hut. So Jaimini said, "You sleep in my hut today. You are my guest." And he went outside and slept under a tree. In the midst of the night, he was awoken by rain, like we may get tomorrow. And he was becoming colder and colder. He was dressing himself. But also this was becoming wet. So then finally he knocked at the little hut. "May I come in?" "No, no, no," said the yogini. "Men and women should not be in the same room in the night. And there is this natural sexual attraction." "Oh, come on, come on. Yasam saru? Yasam sanyasi? Nema problema." So she said, "Well, if you want to come, come in." So he went in and he soon fell asleep. He thought he was free from sexual attraction. And it was true. He didn't react like a normal person. He was a sadhu. All of a sudden, in the midst of the night, he felt some intense vibration. He felt influenced by it. Finally, lusty emotions came in his mind. And then he couldn't control himself and he just rolled over and started to intensely touch the body of the yogini. He wanted to start in the face. And all of a sudden saw he was grabbing a bird. "What, a bird?" So he went to very velike Ejik Agitacionski. He went and opened some light and he saw that instead of the yogini, his spiritual master, Vyasadev, was lying on the bed. "You fool," said Vyasadev. "No one is free from sexual attraction. Not even you. Only the Lord is." "And his pure devotees," he said. In this world, we have to do something with our love for Krishna. And usually, it enters to the opposite sex. Now, this sexual activity in this world has a natural purpose. It is begetting, bringing souls into the world. Now, to raise children and to help them grow up requires a lot of attention. It requires affection. It requires duty and very often hard labor. Remember what your parents did to you. How much work it was to bring you up. Gauranga Sundara, you have a wonderful daughter. How much work it is to bring the little child up. It is India, you say it takes a whole village to bring one children up. So much child up. It's so much work. No one would have, would engage in creating children if there wouldn't be some reward, some bonbon, because it's so much work. To bring one child up, it costs an estimate of 300,000 Nemechka marka, and you have to work for it. 300,000 Nemechka marka is a lot in Croatia. You have to work for it. See, that's why Gauranga Sundara and Ramani are very skinny. A lot of work. Now, no one would do this if there wouldn't be a special pleasure in sexual life. Prabhupada writes about this beautifully. And now we have to really wish our Stavavali. Good luck. It's a difficult text, but I know you will make it correctly. The genitals and the pleasure of begetting counteract the distresses of family encumbrances. Inconveniences, yes. One would cease to generate altogether if there were not, by the grace of the Lord, a pleasure-giving substance on the surface of the generative organs. This substance gives the pleasure so intense that it counteracts fully the distress of family encumbrance, family inconvenience. In other words, you are prepared to radite, radite, radite for the children and to maintain an apartment, because in this one pleasure, there is a special bonbon. Prabhupada calls it a pleasure covering over the generative organs. Do you follow this idea? It is made by nature. Because no children would come into this world. Everyone thinks, Walapuna, 300,000 Nemechka marka for this. No, it's not worth it. But because there is a certain covering of pleasure, you say, I don't mind the rarity. The pleasure is so intense, I'm going to go for it. A person is so captivated by this pleasure-giving substance that he is not satisfied by begetting a single child, but increases the number of children with great risk in regard to maintaining them. Maybe he has no money to maintain them, simply for this pleasure-giving substance. So, because most of the people think, oh, I'm intelligent, I will get the pleasure without the radite, without the consequences of having children and to maintain them. And here in at particular this point of the thought, the question of illicit sex enters. Someone who wants to have the pleasure without paying the price for it, which is after all natural. The natural consequence of a sexual activity is to have a child. But someone who does not want to have the child, he will engage in what is not natural. And there will be certain consequences which we will hear about. Not in so much great detail, because I don't want to make this a heaven and hell lecture. What is licit or regulate or let us say natural sex, and what is illicit or unnatural sex? This is the question. Govinda Nandana, no, actually you. I would like you to always write the headings of where we are in our seminar, so that devotees, when their minds drift off because they have to think and digest the subject, can always return where we are. This is a method. So you can write licit and illicit sex. As far as the urges of the genitals are concerned, writes Prabhupada, there are two, proper and improper, or legal and illicit sex. When a man is properly mature, he can marry according to the rules and regulations in the Shastra and use his generative organs for begetting nice children. You know, mature personality marries another mature personality, and they think, yes, sex which is not against the scriptures, that is Krishna even. Wonderful. And you can see wonderful results like Male Mangala. Is she here? Oh, it may be a little. It's all right. What you want, Guru Maharaj? You want to use me as an example? Udernu? Like this, huh? Okay, it's a little embarrassing for. That is legal and religious. Otherwise, and now we hear the definition of illicit sex. He may adopt many artificial means to satisfy the demands of his genitals, and he may not use any restraint. It's in other words artificial and without restraint. When one indulges in illicit sex as defined by the Shastras, either by thinking, planning, talking about it, or actual having sexual intercourse, or by satisfying the genitals by artificial means, he is caught in the clutches of Maya. Illicit sex brings you in Maya, in other words, illusion. These instructions apply not only to householders, but also to tyagis, or those who are in the renounced order of life. Let me repeat this very important instruction. We hear of proper use of sex. It is religious and it is good. It is meant for creating nice Krishna conscious children by a mature, responsible couple. But then there is what is irresponsible or, what is it, illicit sex, where the people want to avoid the natural consequences and, you know, use artificial means to so that children cannot come into the world, or they do what is called in English the lonely passion, sexual life alone. and so on. Now, when you do such a thing, your spiritual life is destroyed. You fall in Maya, because you come totally on the Telotsky niveau, and you act against the laws of God. Now, it is even said here that illicit sex can be done by thinking about it, a daydream. Mrs. Beautiful is in my mind, or Mr. Beautiful, and you begin to dream a fantasy. This can bring you totally on the bodily platform. You can make plans for it. I steal some novats, and then we get an apartment. You can talk about it with friends, or you can do it. This brings you in Maya, in the material energy. Now, you must all agree that the attraction to these types of illicit sex, thinking and dreaming, is very powerful. Remember, we are full of love. If we don't give it to Krishna, it will go in this direction. Srila Prabhupada writes a little bit about how powerful this Maya is. Kapila Dev says, "Just try to understand the mighty strength of my Maya in the shape of woman, or Mushkatsky, who by the mere movement of her eyebrows can keep even the greatest emperor of the world under her grip." We saw a typical scene today when we went for some plivonje in the Adriatic Sea. There was a dangerous cliff, and on the end, then it went steep into the Adriatic Sea. And then on a little rock before this dangerous cliff was a beautiful woman, not properly dressed. And there were all the Mushkatskis, and they were jumping from the cliff, wow, you know, to impress the powerful representative of the illusory energy. We were seeing with our own eyes. It was a preparation for this seminar. Therefore, Kapila Dev says, "Just try to understand the mighty strength of my Maya in the shape of the woman, or Mushkatsky, who by the mere movement of her eyebrows, or, you know, a muscle, can keep the greatest conquerors of the world, or the greatest accomplished woman, under her grip." Behind Hitler was his secret love, Maria Braun. Behind Caesar was Cleopatra. And Alexander the Great became Alexander the Small when he fell in love and lost all his power for fighting. He used it in his private room, sleeping room. Now, it is also said, now about woman, "A woman therefore should consider her husband, her house and her children, to be the arrangement of the external energy of the Lord for her death, just as the sweet singing of the hunter is death for the deer. In other words, this material attraction, Kuchi, Maledetis, you know better than me, Car, it can be the illusory arrangement, if it's an arrangement just for illicit sex life. Just like the deer is captured by the sweet singing of the hunter and then pierced with an arrow, the woman also becomes attracted by this. Maledetes, sexolne jivot, and so on. And then, the arrow of illusion is shot. But we must acknowledge it is very powerful. So powerful, we just bing. Caesar lost all his good sense when Cleopatra did like bing. You know, Ravana's women, from here to here, they had 13 different colors of shminka. 13. And because in Vedic times, they would know that the power of the woman over the man is when he goes like bling, a colorful bling. Maybe this would be an interesting form of shminka. It's 13 different colors. It must be really like for someone who is attracted. Mm-hmm. Yes. So because this is such a powerful attraction, we must learn to deal with it properly. Otherwise, it can destroy our spiritual life. If you want to advance spiritually, you must learn to control this powerful force. Otherwise, you will be controlled by it. Srila Prabhupada writes that this is the common knowledge of all religions. He says, basically, there is no difference between the process of Buddhists, Shankarites, and Vaishnavites. For promotion to the highest status of perfection, namely freedom from birth and death, anxiety and fearfulness, not one of these processes allows the follower to break the vow of celibacy. Buddhists cannot do it, the impersonalists cannot do it, the Vaishnavas cannot do it. So, let us now have a little glimpse into other traditions, what these other traditions do with this powerful urge. We can say other traditions. The Christians, in the Christian tradition, there is one method by which they transform this energy so that it does not destroy their attraction to the Lord. The monks, for instance, who are in celibacy, they are a little creative. They have a garden and they do gardening, because they understand if they just block this energy, it will destroy them. So it's called, in Freudian psychology, it's called they sublimate it. Or a musician, if he wants to be a good musician, he knows he has to live a little celibate to hold his strength inside. And then he uses this energy in it is just sublimated. It is a sublimation of this energy. Sublimation, what is the word of sublimation? Sublimazione, I think. Yeah, sublimazione. The Christians know, the monks know, for instance, if I just stop it, I become a little funny in the head. You must have seen some monks. Have you met some monks who were not very successful? They were all a little strange. Sometimes people say about Hare Krishna devotees that sometimes they appear to be a little, you know, strange. It is when the energy is just doing is just stopped and not used in a different way. One monk said to me, "You have to be creative if you want to be in celibacy. You have to use the energy in a different way. You have to love people and help people. This is how you use it." And he gave me an example. When the river comes and you just block it, then after some time the river will become so strong that he will break the blockade. Therefore, what do? You build a little, I don't know how it's called, a little side river. And then the water comes here. You block it here, but then the water comes here another way. And it is used to move, what is it called? A Wasserrad in German language. Mill, yes, a mill. Mill wheel. And then you can gain electricity from it. Or make some flower. You know, you have a stone. It goes like... And it puts the grains into a thing. So in the same way, if you sublimate this energy and use it in a different way, it can be very useful. That Christian celibate monks know about this. We also, in Krishna consciousness, have some use for this method. Then, there are the yogis of India. Their method is to meditate about their spiritual identity. Yasam duhone dush. Yes. Or the impersonalists meditate, I am Brahman. I have nothing to do with this material desires. And they lift their consciousness through the process of yoga to the higher chakras where they don't feel any longer this powerful material energy affecting them. Now, what do we do? With this question, I want to end the first part of my seminar. In the second part, I will talk about Krishna conscious ways to overcome illicit attraction, which can become a severe obstacle for spiritual life. These tips will be extremely practical, and I think when you hear them, you will feel great relief and happiness because you will have powerful tools how to overcome the golden chain to the repeated birth and death. Hari Bol. We will meet again after, I would say, 17 minutes past 6. This is on my wristwatch. After 15 minutes, in other words. Hare Krishna. So in the first part of our seminar, we have discussed a little bit about the origins of sexual attraction. We have discussed its natural purpose in this world. We have defined what is licit and illicit sex. And we have found out that the attraction to the opposite sex is more powerful than we are often aware of. Then we have discussed that it is important to deal with this properly And we have said that all the traditions, spiritual traditions, have some... Translation, I'm sorry, I forgot. You're ready now? Can you give a summary of what we have discussed? Not all. So, anyways, we can continue. We have said, we have discussed what the other traditions say, how this can be overcome, and we want to now discuss what is the Krishna conscious way of dealing with sexual attraction. I have two ways again. One is that by meditating about Krishna, the origin of all, even the sexual attraction, we can overcome it. And the second is some, let me say, practical advices from our philosophy. My first point, that is full Krishna consciousness, is really the ultimate solution, and I will deal with it at the end of my seminar. I want to now go to some practical steps you can do in your life, which will help you to transform this most powerful of all energies. Yes. First of all, if you see that you are becoming attracted and attached, raise the level of your mind. The mind is very powerful. According to where you direct it, you will live a reality according to that. Choose to direct your mind on Krishna. Then your mind will be in Krishna. But if you allow your mind to be engaged with the objects of material attachments, then you will be totally in material consciousness. Wherever your mind is concentrated, that you will become. Let me tell you a little story. Once there was a man who was walking in the desert, and he became extremely thirsty. He was feeling he was dying from thirst. Finally, he arrived at an oasis. He felt the touch of the green grass underneath his feet. He heard the sweet gargling of nice drinking water. But in his mind he was thinking, no, this is an illusion. He was falling down. And he was dying next to the water. A little later, two Arabic men came, Arabians who live in the desert, and they saw this person who had just died next to the water. And then this one Arabic man said to the other, "The mind is very powerful." He thought he was thirsting, dying from thirst, and he died from thirst. By the way, in the Australian desert, many white men have died from the imagination that they were too thirsty. When they were found, the doctors found out there was enough water in the body to keep them alive for a whole more day. But their mind was thinking, I am dying. There's a result. Death could come. So when you realize that you are sexually attracted, you have to get your mind somewhere else. You have to take it out of this film which you are seeing at the present moment and put it onto some other things. This is a knowledge for instance, a singer in India will concentrate his mind on this chakra where the voice is, and then he can sing like a lion. Or someone in Asia, he can break this, you know, a fighter can break so much wood just by going like, why? Because he puts all his mind in here, in this movement. So in Krishna consciousness, we also know this. We have to elevate our mind. And once we rise it to another level of existence, we don't feel the problems which we used to feel. Prabhupada said, our thoughts are always changing. That is the nature of the mind. You cannot expect that even the great saintly persons are free from thoughts coming and going. Even sometimes a saintly person can meditate about the material attachments. Now I want to tell you a trick from spiritual psychology. The mind has three functions. Thinking, feeling, and willing. Now, here's the thought entering into your mind. It enters first into the first gate, that is thinking. But after thinking comes the next gate. It's called feeling. And then after this, the thought goes into the next one, that is willing. Let us use an example, which is not so we can think. You think, ja wollen pizza. This is here. This is the thought. Ja wollen pizza. Correct? So. Then, if you don't want that you become totally absorbed in pizza, you have to stop that the thought doesn't become a feeling. Pizza, pizza, olivsky, oilsky, oilsky, and all this. Because if it goes through the second gate, feeling, then soon it will come into the next gate, that is willing. And acting. Oh, I'm full with this pizza sort. Ja, wollen pizza. And I have so much feeling for it. Olive oil and... You know, and then the next thing is it will come into the willing. I want to eat a pizza. I will even steal it. I will beg the money for it. I will commit even a crime in order to get a pizza. So if you want, this is in with all material thoughts. First you think about it. Then it becomes more intense. You feel for it. And then it becomes even more intense. You want it. And then you can't stop it. It's too strong. Therefore, if you want if you don't want to come into a difficult situation with your attachment, where you will even be forced almost to act according to it, you have to make a block before this gate with your intelligence. Can see something like this. You have to say, this is not a good thought, but I don't want that this becomes too strong. So therefore, this is so nice to draw a little. You go here, Joop, Krishna. And you engage your intelligence. You bring this energy. You raise it up by meditating about the Supreme Lord. This is now a piece of art. I will take it with me to Germany and sell it for 1 million Nemetschka German marks to a fool. Resume. Three gates. Thinking, feeling, willing. And they become stronger and stronger. If you don't check your thoughts by raising your mind on a higher platform, then you are lost. Don't daydream in Maya. The next advice is to change the modes of material nature. When you are in ignorance, under the mode of ignorance, you feel attracted for eating too much, for sex life. When you are in the mode of passion, you feel attracted for money and for glories and for strong sex life. But if you are in the mode of goodness, you like philosophy, music, bhajan music, for instance, and so on. So if you want to feel differently, you must change the modes in which you live. If you live in a dirty place with television on, you cannot give up sexual life. I was once going into a monastery. This is my example. And I had a philosophical presentation. And at the end, the young monks asked me, what does this color mean? And I said, celibacy. Dobro, they said. Come with us. We need to talk with you privately. They were in a monastery and they were also practicing celibacy, and they wanted to know, how are you doing this? We also have to practice it for the time where we learn Christianity, Catholic Christianity. But all we really think of is going into a town in the night, taking a nice girl with us, going to lick some ice cream, and going into some movie. And then we want to touch the girl a little bit. Male, male, male. How do you do this? And I explained many things which I'm explaining now. But then I said, I am not surprised that you experience so much difficulty. Because I see from morning till evening the TV is running. You Miss Universe, Tarzan and Janet. A romantic summer night. One movie after another. This creates strong impressions. This creates strong mode of ignorance and passion. And then you sometimes drink wine, and then the lower chakras are vibrating. So on. If you want to raise your consciousness, you have to raise the modes in which you live. My dear devotees, get up earlier. Have a nice clean environment. Good pictures of Krishna. You can take inspirations from Govinda Nandini's apartment, which looks like the kingdom of God. Nice altar. Very good altar. And in this way, you know, nice bhajans. When you go to bed, put a nice bhajan cassette. But not Modernsky, Devotionalsky, Musitsky, you know, with you know, but some nice bhajan. Bhajahure, Prabhupada bhajan. It's very good atmosphere. Can hear our speakers. It's so intense that our speakers are. This seminar is very intense, so our speakers have some problem. Yes, so this is a change your mode. In other words, the next thing, if you have sexual attraction, go somewhere else. Best is make a walk through nature. Start to think. Do something else and don't daydream about sexual life. Today in ISKCON, the young devotees who are not yet educated properly are sometimes making compromises with the material energies. The women are putting new fashion frizurski and all kinds of the men are sometimes looking TV, chewing gum, and so on. This is all increasing the modes of ignorance and passion. And it is not good if you want to give up, if you don't want to be want to suffer by this. Then you can do another thing. Change your diet. Don't eat so much sugar, and so on. There is a direct line. The line goes tongue, belly, and generative organs. If you eat too much, your stomach becomes big and you become fatsky. And then there's a pressure on the generative organ. Don't eat too much, especially not at night. The next thing is a little psychological. Elevate your vision. For someone who wants to practice celibacy, three visions are recommended. In the beginning, the cobra bath, then the Matra Bhav, and then the Atma Bhav. What does this mean? Cobra Bhav means when you see a cobra, you are not attracted to embrace the cobra. Usually not. In the same way, when you see the opposite sex, you should think it is not good for my spiritual life if I break the regulative principles and if I increase the material attachments. So you should think it is dangerous like a cobra. But this is a very immature state. Often it is found out that if you negatively turn against something, that something begins to haunt you. If you overthink, pizza is not good, pizza is not good, pizza is not good, you overthink about pizza. So you must make advancement. The second stage is where you see, for instance, the woman as your mother. Mother means respect. A son towards his mother is very respectful. He will never hate the mother. No mature person will hate his mother. So in the same way, a more elevated realization is that you think friendly of the opposite, with the opposite sex, with respect. My mother or my brother. Then comes the third stage. It is called Atma Bhava. You think this person is an eternal soul, a part and parcel of Krishna. He's divine, or she is divine, a divine child of immortality. Yes, a divine child of immortality. Gaura Singha, you are a divine child of immortality, isn't it? You're loving it, isn't it? You don't agree? Only on one level he is a boy from Macedonia. On the other level he is an eternal soul, a divine child of immortality, a wonderful person, a rare person. Now, at the end of my seminar, I would want to come to the ultimate solution to overcome the material attraction will only work if you develop attraction to Krishna. Please remember the prisma example. In the beginning, what was our lust? Love for Krishna. But when it came together with this material energy, shroop, it became distorted and became lust. The binding force to this material energy. Love frees you, lust binds you. So, if you want to become free, you need to ultimately develop Lubav, Sakrishna, Krishnu, Krishna, Krishna, or Krishnu, Krishnu, hi Paul. Prabhupada Kaje, instead of being attracted by material beauty, if one is accustomed to be attracted by the beauty of Radharani and Krishna, then the statement of Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate, holds true. That means if one can get a higher taste, one gives up the lower taste. When one is attracted by the transcendental beauty of Radha and Krishna, he is no longer attracted by material feminine beauty. That is the specific significance of Radha Krishna worship. That is testified by Yamunacharya. He says, since I have become attracted by the beauty of Radha and Krishna, when there is attraction for a woman or a memory of sex life, I at once spit on this memory and my face turns in disgust. When we are attracted by Madan Mohan and the beauty of Krishna and his consorts, then the shackles of conditioned life, namely the beauty of a material woman or a material man, cannot attract us. If your original attraction is again with Krishna, then there is no problem with lust, because lust is only the perverted form of love. There's a saying in India, where there is Rama, there is no karma. Karma means lust. You can translate. Where there is karma, there is no Rama. Hare Krishna. Once this was proven in a very dramatic way by Lord Krishna himself. The powerful Cupid, the god of lust, came to Krishna. And he said, Krishna, I challenge you for a fight. I want to see who is stronger, me or you. Acha, said Krishna. Where do we want to fight with me? In an open battle or from a fortress? Fortress? Yes. Cupid said, in an open battle. To fight with someone who's hiding in a fortress is no challenge for me. I have cracked all the yogis. I have made the yogis mad with sexual attraction. They try to block themselves. They try to go in the caves of the Himalayan mountain and shut off their senses. They went in the fortress. But I'd have just finished them. I will fight with you in the open. Oh, say, okay, said Krishna. Then come in the most beautiful night, when the full moon is over the Yamuna, and when I will dance with the most beautiful women in the universe, the gopis, when I will dance the Rasa dance. So Cupid came. When he came, he saw Krishna like the full moon with all the stars. Krishna was another moon. There was the real moon, but then there was the Krishna Chandra, the moon of Krishna. His face was so indescribably beautiful, with his eyes, and he would look left to right, and his dear devotees, the gopis, would be vibrant with the energy of spiritual love. Krishna had beautiful locks of hair, bimba fruit red lips. He was holding a flute, and all the universe was enchanted by the melodies coming from his flute. Whenever Krishna walked, in his footsteps, lotus flowers appeared. He looked like the personified God of love. Then he started to invite the gopis to sing. And they sang all the different ragas and raginis. They played beautiful on beautiful instruments. And soon they began to dance. And Krishna was no longer one Krishna. But he appeared with all these single gopis. And they were looking at each other with eyes full of love. Sometimes Krishna would take his cloth and wipe the tears of love from the eyes of the gopis. And, Kama was, Mohan he's called, the god of love, was aiming his arrows. Our Rohini Sutta Prabhu has told us what these arrows are. Fascination. Stupefaction. Total illusion. He was trying to shoot his five arrows. But it was difficult. Because Krishna and the gopis danced so fast. That there was Krishna, then the next moment there was a gopi laughing and singing. And he couldn't, you know, really point his arrows. And then a mystical wonder happened. Because this atmosphere was so much surcharged with Mahabhava, that is pure, ecstatic, spiritual love. Cupid came under the influence. And Cupid himself experienced what is real love. All these gopis were free from selfishness. They just wanted to please Krishna. And Krishna had only one idea. He wanted to please his dearmost devotees. It was pure. No pochlepo. So Cupid just looked and he came in ecstasy. Haribol! And then he fell down senselessly. He fainted. Yes, he fainted. So he was defeated in the battle. Srila Prabhupada says that even in this world, a devotee can overcome his problemskis by meditating about Krishna. He says a yogi should similarly, this is in the Bhagavatam, a yogi should meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Sri Hari. A smile which, for all those who go to him, dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. How do you like this? Krishna smiles and he dries away the ocean of tears. These are the ocean of tears cried by all the fallen conditioned souls who are so full of material attraction and who always suffer because they cannot fulfill this most powerful urge, the urge of lust, which will just destroy their spiritual life. How many liters of tears do you think a normal person cries in his life? A normal European. It is exactly 64 liters. And in Croatia it's 70 or 5 or 80. Because more emotionally. these tears, this is statistical biological figure. These tears come by the frustration which happens when a person loses his original spiritual identity and becomes identified with the world of death. Another thing which you can do in the ultimate method, you can take to deity worship. Prabhupada says, Krishna is Madana Mohan. He conquers Mohan, the god of love. This is the remedy. You may take immediately to Archana, the deity worship. The process is a little difficult in the beginning, but once you are habituated, it is not at all difficult. So apart from the marriage proposal, you should immediately take to deity worship. And I'm sure this process, helped by your regular chanting, will kill Mr. Lust. Rest assured. Deity worship kills Mr. Lust. Therefore, my dear Grihastas, do deity worship. It will help you to have a spiritual atmosphere at your house. Hare Krishna. This is the end of my seminar. I want to now see if there are any questions. Actually, yes, Vikrama Prabhu. Women are said to be 8 times or 9 times as lusty as men. Can you explain? I have seen men who are 90 times more lusty than women. In Kali Yuga, these numbers are a little bit... because... see, maybe last life the man was a woman. It's so, you know, in Kali Yuga they change roles very quickly because they are very much attached. The man is very attached to the woman and the woman is very attached to the man. So therefore, you know, they bring their qualities from their last lives and therefore have it. But this statement is there. It it refers to non-devotee women. Those who come to the process of Krishna consciousness are usually great souls, and they voluntarily take this process of celibacy in as brahmacharinis or brahmacharis. So I think it is much more helpful to see them as devotees. But it is a fact, if a woman begins to identify with her womanly qualities, then one of these qualities, which is deep attachment to material life, is there and it becomes greater. Actually, may I do one thing? I want to ask a question. You can put your question to... and she will tell it to me one moment later. You have the question? Or why don't you do it like this? Write your question on a piece of paper and give it to Stavavali. Thank you. I'm difficult to learn. I want to now ask the question. What do you do when there is a fall down? Fall down means in Grihastha Ashram we have the rules and regulations, but we cannot keep them. Fall down in Brahmachari life, a Brahmacharini life can also happen, and you can use your own intelligence to figure out what that could be. A very important point is, when there is a fall down, don't become too mental about it. Continue with your devotional service. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita about fall downs something very encouraging. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. That means after some time, he will become all right. When there is a fall down, an unmeditated fall down in your Grihastha or Brahmachari ashram, go on with your devotional service. However, you have to be very careful. In the modern times, there is an illusory philosophy spreading. It says, anyways, times have changed. ISKCON has so many problems, keys. Why should I now keep the four rules and regulations? Let me shivashi lali lari fari, you know. I don't need to be so strict any longer. Remember, to keep the regulative principles is not in the interest of ISKCON. It is in your own interest. If you want spiritual elevation, you need to become more and more free from material attachments and more attached to Krishna. When accidents happen, go on. But remain what Krishna describes here as properly situated in your determination. Understand, Srila Prabhupada has given a certain standard, a certain ideal, which should help you. If you can't always, if you have an accident, just get up and try again. But don't change your determination. Remain properly situated in your determination. Then you will be considered saintly by Krishna. Now what should we do if we see someone has a fall down? It is not good if we point with fingers on him. See his red face? He had a fall down last night. I can see it with my yogic powers. Or sometimes, you know, rumors spread. So-and-so Grihastha couple, who? What do you think they do when the light goes out? Ooh. Yasnam, yasnam. This is all negative projection. It makes the atmosphere not conducive. If you want to be angry, don't be angry at the sinner. Be angry at the sin. This is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Kaje. Don't, what does he say? Hate the sin, not the sinner. Hare Krishna. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christus. Kaje. Yeah. This was my question. So what is the question? Stava Vali.
Does all of this mean that the psychology of mind is limitless in connection to the divine consciousness? Pitanje je, znači li da je psihologija uma neograničena u odnosu na božansku svjesnost?
Do you understand the question?
No.
Your question is not clear. You need to think again about it.
Moraš ponovno promisliti.
Yes. What are there? Is there another question? Yes.
This is in connection with the doubts because which come due to ignorance. As most of us live in congregation, and most of us never lived in the temple, I feel a great lack of training and education. Because except from Sunday feast and Bhakti Sangha groups once a week, we rarely associate among ourselves. Because of this lack of education and knowledge, we often speculate very much, or we are very fanatical. Which is the best means of education for those devotees who cannot live in the temple? Because of this lack of education, many people go away from this movement. Koji je najbolji oblik obrazovanja za takve bakte koji ne mogu živjeti u hramu, budući da zbog tog nedostatka jako puno ljudi odlazi?
First of all, you have to also take responsibility for your own life. Don't always wait for others to educate you. Educate yourself. I ran away from school when I was 16. And I knew what I was doing. I thought, why should others educate me? I don't want to be educated by others. The school is not giving me the knowledge I'm interested in. I want psychology. I want philosophy, I want good literature, all this is not in school. So I ran away from school and educated myself. Then I came to Krishna consciousness. And I understood, Prabhupada wants to educate his disciples. Training and education is a word which you will find about, I think, 3,122 times in the folio. It's the most used word of Prabhupada. We need to train our devotees, we need to educate them, and so on and so forth. So I began to think, how is it possible? And the answer is, Prabhupada said, read my books, read my books, read my books. In other words, there is ample opportunity for everyone to get knowledge. In our movement, we do not have yet a very systematic educational program. There are several ideas. For instance, one idea is to make a systematic syllabus. Syllabus is like a teaching plan for the Bhakti Sangha groups, that they learn from, you know, Tulsi Puja up to Ganga Puja, they learn mantras and yantras and tantras and, you know, everything which is there to learn. But that's very difficult to really work on this and conceive it. Then in Croatia, we have a very interesting plan to make a educational center in our Lika farm. These are plans, and you can make yourself available of this plan. Another very good means to educate yourself is to buy tapes of seminars. I personally learn a lot by these seminars. I like Bhakti Chaitanya Swami's seminar very much because he's very systematic. He gave a wonderful seminar on the Brahma Sanghita, on the Ishopanishad, and I'm ordering these tapes and I'm learning from them. What I want to address here, I feel our devotees inside and outside the movement must learn one thing. If you see there is a lack, then you should take care of the lack. Don't wait for others to come. If others have some solution, very good. But make the solution work yourself. I'm saying this because, see, when I left school, I was very frustrated because I had to learn all these things which the teachers wanted me to learn. And, you know, in the very beginning, I did not want to learn again. Later, I decided to educate myself. But in the very beginning, I thought, it's too much. I will never touch a book. I will never listen to anything which sounds like intelligent thoughts. Because I was so frustrated. Then I read a letter. See, Prabhupada didn't actually want that I left school. But I was not yet initiated. And I had a very strong opinion. But, so I left anyway school. Because I just could not tolerate it any longer. Then I read a letter by Srila Prabhupada. If you absolutely have to leave school, don't stop the process of education. Otherwise, if you do not educate yourself, you will not have enough possibilities in your jivatsky, in your life. Very often this happens to young devotees. They enter into our movement, and then after some time their creativity goes, their intelligent thought goes, because they don't educate themselves. What happens with the muscle which you don't use? It becomes slabby. What happens to your brain if you don't use it? It becomes veliki slabby. Vladko. Jako, also, not veliki, Jako. Okay. I will never learn this language. Not even the most simple things I can say properly. It's so frustrating. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Any other question? Microphone? Uno momento.
I would like to ask you to please further explain the dangers of letting loose the principles. I'm asking this because lately I've heard an opinion of a respectable person who points out to two arguments for not strictly following, especially the fourth regulative principle. The first argument is that it is not a custom in our sampradaya. And the second thing is that the artificial following of this principle created a havoc in the spiritual and material lives of the members of this movement.
Mm-hmm. Translate.
Pitanje je da...
Ah, you have translated. But it's such a good question, we should hear it again. In the big loudspeaker.
Pitanje je bilo da, da Guru Maharaj ljubazno objasni dalje potrebu za striktnim sjeđenjem četiri regulativna principa, pošto postoje neki argumenti koji su dosta snažni i koji su smjereni protiv stvari striktnog sljeđenja, a to je da prvi je da zapravo to nije tradicija našoj sampradaji, posebno za grihaste, a drugi je da, mislim jedino za grihaste, a drugi je da umjetno pridržanje tog principa je dovelo do velikih problema u duhovnim materijalnim životima sljedbenika ovog pokreta.
Mm-hmm. The first argument is that to control the sexual urge is not done in our sampradaya. However, this is not a true argument. In all processes, Prabhupada says, there is it is not allowed to break the vow of celibacy. Let me read to you this quotation. Basically, there is no difference between the process of Buddhists, Shankarites, and Vaishnavites. For promotion to the highest status of perfection, namely freedom from birth and death, anxiety and fearfulness, not one of these processes allows the follower to break the vow of celibacy. See, if you want to come to a spiritual life, how can you engage in the most basic activity of the material life, unrestrictedly and irreligious, without religion? John Lennon was singing, "Why don't we do it in the streets? No one will be watching us." You know, modern music? Not so much. The dogs can do it in the street. But the human being will be put into some lunatic asylum. This is, you know, because there are principles governing human behavior. It is not correct. See, if you want to increase anxiety and fearfulness and material life, you should always have illicit sex from morning till evening. Illicit sex speaks a big lie to us. Satisfy me and you will be happy. It is like an itching sensation. When you itch, the itching sensation is stronger. You know, when you have a mosquito bite, you know, and it goes like, after some time, and it becomes stronger and more painful and more painful and more painful. It is not true that you become satisfied by sex life. Now, of course, one could say, and this is the second argument, okay, we shouldn't do it like the Rajneesh people. Uradnu. But we should also not do it like a fanatic Hare Krishna. Look, and then this argument is because this energy, sexual energy, was blocked in the Hare Krishna movement. This is the argument. It created havoc. But who says you should block it? We should bring it on higher levels. We should think about Krishna. Madan Mohan, dance in Kirtan. This is our philosophy and it works. When someone is happy in the Dukhanda Jivat, then he doesn't feel attracted to the lower material pleasures. Uno momento. Yes, I think this is what I would like to say. There's a Pitanje by Nasa Draga Angelka, Moi Doctora. Yes, please, Angelka. Yes, let her explain everything. Yes. In the microphone. We can give the microphone to Angelka. Because this will come on the tape. I'm Ishvinite.
Da je seksualna energija jedna od najjačih energija koja je pri samom rođenju ugrađena u svako biće. U ovom procesu bhakti joge isključivo se insistira na celibatu. Zanima me na koji način sublimirati tu energiju koja je upravo potisnuta.
Yes.
Koja će se sigurno odraziti na naše tijelo. Ako to tijelo nije u redu, ne možemo ni mi duhovno napredovati.
Mm-hmm. Voila.
This question is about this sexual energy,
yes,
which you feel that is put into a living being with its birth. And if we simply try to put it down, this will surely affect our bodies. Yes. And how can we serve and engage in devotional service if this is not taken care of?
Yes. This is a very good question. Oh, sorry. How we can survive?
Sublime.
How to sublimate? Sublimate, yes.
Uh-huh. She has another question.
Yeah. Okay. First I will answer. And then Drugi Pitanje. Yes. It is definitely correct if a person who has this, this energy is with us from birth, and if we do not do something, there are two ways to act with this energy. One is to live it in the material world and have sexual activities. And the other is to engage our energy in the service of Krishna. Now, when the energy of the human being is put into the service of Krishna, a transformation takes place. The process of bhakti acts as a transformator. The most important process of bhakti is to hear about Krishna, then to glorify Krishna, and then to remember Krishna always. If the mind is fixed on Krishna, then this energy, which goes usually in the lower parts of the senses, is going up, and it is used in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this energy is reaching the Supreme Lord, then true satisfaction comes. One devotee recently went to a doctor, and the doctor said, if you do not break the fourth regulative principle. You will even have a disease. Diseases. Dr. Kaje, not you. You know, the Dr. Zagreb, doctor. Now, I was saying to this that I have read a book about this, and there is an. This is an old theory. The theory is, because we have these parts, they must be used. Otherwise, something happens, and some. The new understanding is, if a person marries a vision, a project, something he's totally enthusiastic for, then this is a better mush. This is a new theory developed in America, where it's now in fashion to be celibate. Now, in Krishna consciousness, we also have a very similar concept, which is spiritual. We use our energies. We first of all develop love of Krishna. I think we must develop more love of Krishna in our movement. And we use our energy in the loving devotional service of Krishna. And then it is again retransformed. See, what is the sexual desire? It is really desire for love of Krishna. But it has become, it has gone down to the material energy and become satisfied. Now, but there are different constitutions. One person will be more constituted to go the way of asceticism. Most people of us are not made like this. You can see our devotees are not great ascetics. And therefore, for most of our devotees, it is advised to utilize this energy in a regulated way, not only in the spiritual way, but to engage it in Krishna's, so to say, in bringing children to this world. And there is an exact science how to do this. First, husband and wife chant mantras. They come in real Dukhana consciousness. And then they have a nice room. And, then they have this activity. And how they do it, I cannot tell you because I'm a sannyasi. I'm not allowed to speak about it. But there's information. And there is an interesting article which I have about, this. But I can't, this is a detail which you can have this article if you want. I can give it to Govinda Nandana and Adya, and they can make copies for it for you if you want. Mm-hmm. That is my answer. You had a drugi pitanje, Angelika.
Zanima me, da li ovaj proces bhakti joge ne bi trebao biti postepen? I da li mladi ljudi koji se nalaze u bhakti jogi ne bi trebali proći to životno iskustvo?
Hvala puno.
I'm interested, shouldn't this process of bhakti yoga be gradual, and shouldn't young people who come to it go through this life experience?
Most young people
Většina mladých ľudí.
Should in, yes, you are correct. Most young people should first learn the spiritual science of Krishna consciousness. as brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, so that they have developed a good character and knowledge, and then they can enter into the grihastha ashram, where they can also learn, amongst other things, responsibility. Grihastha ashram needs some preparation because it's for mature people who know and who have got and who also know how to maintain the wife and maybe the future children. And then after the grihastha ashram, you know, there is a gradual development, vanaprastha and then sannyas. For most of us, these stepnitsas are most natural. Now, in grihastha ashram, there are these rules and regulations which help us to, we can have this, you know, this life. The grihasthas can have children, and so on and so forth. But they should also not engage in sexual life without restraint. Even educated people in this world are not all are knowing that there is that you should restrain this, because it brings you too much on a material level, where there is no question of spiritual life if it is done unrestricted. These are our views about it. Please think about it. But I want to explain one last thing. Someone who has not experienced pleasures of Krishna consciousness, for him it is impossible to imagine restraint. But if you have experienced spiritual pleasures, you forget about the material life. And when it sometimes comes, it is just a fleeting idea. Without experiencing rash or the taste of Krishna consciousness, the higher taste, you cannot give up the lower taste. But if you experience the higher taste, it will be a happy, you will embrace the beautiful queen of renunciation. In grihastha ashram, it looks different than in sannyasa ashram. See, the greatest pleasure in this world is this pleasure, sexual pleasure. However, this pleasure is a million times greater in the heavenly planets. A million times greater than the heavenly sense enjoyment is the happiness of Brahmanda, that means impersonal liberation. And a million times greater than this is the happiness of Krishna consciousness. Don't forget to drink from this cup of Krishna conscious happiness. Then you will be victorious over this greatest attachment. I want to thank you very much for your beautiful questions and for your time. We have gone way over time now, and I need to make two very important announcements. One is, the main points of this seminar will be summarized by Govindanandana and his wife, and you will be able, you can order this summary. It's a service which is done free of cost to you. You need to give them your address if you want to have this summary, how to overcome obstacles in devotional service. And they will send this summary to you free of cost on your mailing address, so that after the seminar you can go again over the points, think again about them, and more important, apply them in their life and make a practical experience of Puno Krishna, of full Krishna consciousness. That's the first announcement. The second announcement is a little advertisement. Please give me your permission. Good. Soon there will be the book, The Nectar Ocean of the Holy Name, in the Croatian language. It is almost ready. Almost ready, and we want to print it soon. This book is really a handbook how you can experience transcendental pleasure while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's really a guidebook to transcendental experience. We have translated it in German, and the whole ISKCON world wanted to have it, so now we are translating it into English, and it is already ready in Croatian. However, we need your help. It would be very helpful for us if you want this book, if you write down your name and address, and maybe even make a prepayment, or that is not the point. Yes, prepayment is good. Why prepayment? Because then we can print it. We have not so much money to print it. We have a little novats, but not all the novats. So we want to make a prepayment thing. And how this works out, you can learn from Adya. Adya will make a little announcement. Please give her the microphone. Adya is the sales manager of this book.
Hare Krishna. Ja ću svakog dana prije seminara sa Šrana Maharadža biti ovdje, pola sata prije seminara. Možete se meni prijaviti kako za pretplate, tako i za donacije. I za druge informacije koje će vas zanimati. Ima li nekih pitanja trenutno?
You have to tell them where you are standing with your...
Yes.
You told them.
Yes. Znači, bit ću ovdje u šatoru, tamo pri kraju, ili izvan šatora. Cijena je 60 kuna u pretplati. Ne, ja nemam na engleskom.
The English is not yet printed.
Knjiga je sa tvrdim koricama, ovitak u boji, 250 stranica. Jako će lijepo izgledati. Mislim da bi svatko trebao imati tu knjigu. Imaćemo primjerak na njemačkom jeziku, izgledat će vrlo slično na hrvatskom, tako da možete pogledati kako će biti knjiga na hrvatskom.
I'm sorry, I hope it wasn't... So how is your work going on in your work group? It's all right? Yours preachate? What is this speaking? Mislite? Okay. I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi go nitai ki jai. Go premanandi adiyadibo.